been doing really well, Steve. How are you? It's great to be back with you in late July, which means football camp in a couple of weeks.
Absolutely. Man, I'm really looking forward to it. Jack got a hold of me a couple days ago. Said, Steve, get that practice schedule. I'm going to be up there a lot. They said, yep. Did you get a chance to watch Kevin Warren's press conference today? And if so, what were your thoughts?
My thoughts is that he is very good at managing questions without necessarily answering them. More, that was one of the things. I always enjoy when somebody responds to a question by saying, that's a great question, because, you know, they're probably going to answer it too much. It sounds like he's coming out of that year, a very difficult year for him, having to cancel a football season a month after he became commissioner of the Big Ten last year. And I think he seems like he's moving maybe a little more purposefully with a bit more stride. I'm curious as to see how the today they named Barry Alvarez a special advisor for football to the Big Ten, and that's a curious thing to me to see how much they might lean on Barry Alvarez. He has a lot of influence in the conference, and how yes. could that affect issues such as the Big Ten's, you know, participation, not participation, you know, but its position on the playoffs, its relationship with the Rose Bowl, its position on expansion. Expansion now, just in the last 48 hours, is another topic, with Oklahoma and Texas reportedly having conversations with the SEC. So he struck me as more kind of, today, I think maybe a bit more, not in control, but a bit more comfortable in taking on this particular football season, because, one, it is a football season that he can enter more comfortably than, obviously, last year. Another thing that he mentioned I thought was important is how they're going to kind of district out the COVID protocols to the
yes.
school, that there's not going to be, you know, a top-down Big Ten protocol, as there was last year and as there pretty much had to be. I'm getting the sense out of the Big Ten that most of the programs are seem to be doing really compliant with vaccination rates. I think James Franklin said today that they were above 70. Other programs reporting high vaccination rates as well. And are they going to use that? It came up in some other conversations as a competitive advantage. It might be for some teams this summer. So I think that will probably more of my takeaways from Commissioner Warren's talk.
Yeah, although he needed to talk a little bit about the timetable. And you have to be asked mm-hmm. about it, about the TV deal. To me, that is the
right,
whole ball
yeah.
game with him. That's the whole ball game with him. Because 1 year from now, Mark, they need to either be to the doorstep of one or have one, because it runs out in 23, and you really need to have one a year ahead of time, and that's next summer. So what's the I would want to have known what is the negotiating timeline, not what your strategy is or who is it with, but what's your yeah. negotiating timeline?
Yeah, absolutely. I hadn't really considered that, and I would even go beyond a television deal. I would assume that this is going to be a broader media rights deal as well, and how are they
yes.
going to bring streaming services involved in that? How are they going to bring along again the Big Ten, the Big Ten Network? Is that, I mean, if it's going to be Big Ten and Fox again, which that allows as the primaries, be with ESPN in there, but will they get Big Ten Network a larger piece of that pie? Bigger games, that sort of thing, So yeah, that's definitely a question that I hadn't considered, but you're absolutely right about that. For me, and it goes back to like what's next too, is the streaming deal. I don't subscribe
yes.
to a lot of stuff, so if they're going to say,
right,
I
don't either.
Penn State Illinois is going to be on ESPN Plus, I'm going to go, oh boy, you know.
Yeah. Well, it you know what, and that's interesting, Mark, because I have to force myself. Mm-hmm. to think that way, because I don't live that way.
Yeah.
I don't watch stuff on streams and things like that. So whenever I'm doing this show, I have to force myself to remember that element that you brought up. And I think it's really important that you brought it up.
I always go just real quickly. I always go back to I did a high school wrestling story a couple of years ago when I was at the newspaper in Allentown about the state high school wrestling tournament being moved to an online service and not being shown on the Pennsylvania Cable Network. And there was that's a split, that's a generational split between the kids who live on that streaming service, especially in their wrestling community, and the adults who want to watch this but have no idea what that streaming service is. And I had one high school wrestling coach tell me, I have kids who all they watch are these wrestling services and YouTube. They don't watch television. So that's always kind of like a reminder in my head that, you know, the generations that have hugely changed their habits. So,
all right. So, I've got to ask you about the Oklahoma-Texas thing. What was interesting is that when Greg Sankey was asked about it, the commissioner of the SEC, he said, "Look, I really just want to talk about the 21 season." Uh-oh.
Yeah.
That wasn't a denial.
Nobody's denied it, correct? Social media is telling me that they're Big 12 is meeting today. If I'm about that,
yes, they are. Yes, mm-hmm. they are. So obviously, these are two mega brands. There aren't many left out there, and the media mm-hmm. grant of rights really eliminates a large pool of schools. The Big Ten could not expand with an ACC school unless the school's willing to sue. The school would have to be willing to sue. But they've all mm-hmm. signed away their media grant of rights through 2036. There aren't many left in the Big 12 or the Pac-12 you'd consider. So when you see this, how does the Big Ten need to react to seeing something like this?
Arguably, do you recircle back to Notre Dame? But then, contractually, I'm not familiar with Notre Dame's ACC contracts in other sports and how that would affect.
Yeah,
ACC get first rights to having Notre Dame as a football member? You know?
Yeah, in basketball and other sports, mm-hmm. I think their grant of rights is through 2036, I believe. In other sports,
why would the Big Ten not join the discussion? If Oklahoma and Texas are up for discussion, if there's a negotiation going on, why would the Big Ten not enter that negotiation for those two schools in particular? Why not? Yeah. Why not throw your hat in the ring? Why not bid for them as well? You guys are up. Here's what the Big Ten has to offer too. I know they're probably obviously there's going to be some more familiarity because of the schools that have moved over, such as Arkansas and Missouri, Texas A&M over the last years. But that's where I might suggest, instead of trying to reach out to other schools and poach schools from other conferences or anything like that, hey, if these schools are interested, pitch your plan to them too. Why not?
What do you think of the possibility of a 12-team playoff?
I'm coming around to it a little more. Scheduling is one of the things I think that I'm not entirely thrilled with the idea, just because that if you're still trying to shoehorn the bowl games in there, your four bye teams, then not having the home date, which I think is an important date in a tournament. Right. Excuse me, two rounds of home dates is really important. And ultimately, I think that's probably going to be where it goes. I think maybe we'll initially have some bowls in that, but I think it's going to have to go back to those four homes. Those four teams are going to want the home site. A month of playoffs, though, am I ready for that? It sounds intriguing, but that's a lot of extension, I think, as well. I probably would have been a little more comfortable at eight initially, but then do you want to keep expanding and keep adding teams until you get to 12 or 16, something like that? I do like the idea of expansion. I actually do kind of like the idea of the top conferences. I think it's what the top six conferences or top five conferences get bid, not just the autonomy five or power five or however you want to do that. I do like that, because that is that tells the conferences, you know, have your top teams be up there. You know, this is not, we are not going to make this our kind of like exclusive tournament, so to speak. I'm such a big bowl person. I mean, I just really like bowl season. It's always been kind of a soft spot for me. And I do think that there's still a lot of value in bowl games. I just don't know how much bowl games fit into a tournament, like a national championship playoff sort of thing. I think we're going to have to maybe get away from the idea that the bowls are part of that.
I'm with you. I enjoy bowl season very much. Always have. All right. So now let's get to this Penn State football team. Mm. If I start with Sean Clifford, have I outlined pretty much a big chunk of the bowl game here?
I think you have. There's no question about it, and I'm sure James Franklin was asked about that, you know, from a variety of different directions. You know, a third-year starting quarterback who had a great 2019, had some elements of a really good 2020, lost his job, I think handled that all very well. You know, with everything that surrounds him in a new offense, you know, and basically his fourth offense, and if you look at it that way, at Penn State, yeah, it's a lot on his shoulders. There's a lot that's on his shoulders. James Franklin said today, I think we might have one of the better running back groups in the country. We might have one of the better tight end groups in the country. I think our offensive line is going to be really good. I think our wide receivers are going to surprise people. All of that hinges on how your quarterback handles it and the relationship he's going to develop with Mike Yurcich, too. That is, a really big one. And Mike Yurcich has such a huge head start over what Kirk Ciarrocca had to deal with last year in having to get to know his quarterback online. It just didn't, you know. It's, you know, the results didn't matter, but I think there are so many asterisks to throw into what offensively Penn State was able and unable to do last season, and ultimately the kind of offense that they were kind of forced to run after like week 5, 6, 7, you know, later in the season. But they need Sean Clifford to be, you know, much, much higher on the plus side of the turnover ratio. He's got to be better with reaction to seeing receivers not just downfield but running in front of him, across from him. He's got to get off some of the early reads, things like that. And he's got to get out of, I think, his countdown, his inner ear countdown clock of telling him to run if he senses a breakdown in like 2.5 seconds or something like that. I think he's got the ability to extend plays a little longer throwing the ball. Throwing the ball. Although, I don't know that necessarily fits in with the Mike Yurcich offense either, because I think he's pinpoint precision and get the ball out quickly and, you know, get your reads, you know, and target and really follow through in the offense. So I like, you know, I'm going to buy Sean Clifford this year. I like the comeback side of his story, and I think it could be a very good one, and I think James Franklin is trying to pitch that as well too. I think he did that a little bit today in Indianapolis, and he did say at one point, I think Sean's going to have a really big year. I think he's really pushing for that, because internally too. With Sean Clifford and no defined number two quarterback and three scholarship quarterbacks on the roster, and having really not found a golden ticket in the transfer portal, that is what you have to do, or that's what you got to go with this year. So you ride with Sean Clifford.
Yeah, because every time he runs with it, Taquan Roberson's looking on, saying, "Okay, you know, he's getting up, right?" I mean, that's that's certainly one of the key parts. Let's take Clifford aside. What's the part of the football team that you look at and say, "You know what? I'm really excited to see how that plays out."
For me, Noah Cain. I come back to Noah Cain as just being a fascinating player to me. I think he could have been so good last year. I think he was going to run, especially almost as like an homage to Journey Brown in some ways. I think he was ready to step into that role. And it was taken away from him inside of 7 or 8 plays of the year. And then, you know, his one of his training coaches in Dallas is – tweeting out photos and putting some or some video on social media of Noah Kane, who looks absolutely phenomenal. He's a player that, right, I think, you know, rightfully maybe a lot of the country forgot about because they didn't see him at all last year.
Right.
And he is real. I mean, he was poised to be really, really good last season. And even perhaps before we knew that Journey Brown wasn't going to play. So to me, that backfield is fascinating. I mean, they basically had five guys nominated for the Doak Walker, because two of them got nominated twice on the list. Right. They were repeating names. So, you know, with John Lovett, the transfer running back from Baylor, and Noah Kane and Kevon Lee, I think they have a really, really good rotation. And that's the kind of thing Mike Yurcich has to go with that. I think he really does have to exploit the running backs that they have. But Noah Kane, I really look forward to seeing him.
It's always a lot of fun talking with you, and especially about football, Mark. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Steve.
Look forward to seeing you.
Yeah, no question. 2 years, so it'll be great.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Mark. Appreciate
it. Take care. Always a great time. Thanks, Steve.